Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, wherever you happen to be listening from or tuning into the Facebook Live this beautiful day. This is Cynthia Fontaine, Spirit Guru and the Rhode Island Psychic Medium, and you were just listening to the phenomenal Errol Star Francis and his newest song out, You Are the One. I listen to that song every single day. It is such an inspirational song for me, and it reminds me that I am the one. And when you listen to it, you are the one, right? Good morning, Mary Elizabeth. Perfect timing. Just made coffee and sat down to relax. Yeah, so I was running a little bit late this morning, charismatic leaders tend to go with the flow. Good morning, Cindy Fala. So nice to see you both here. I love this cup, and I haven't used it in a while, and it says to remember to be amazing today, which goes right along with Errol Star Francis's song, You Are the One, right? Because we often think that, you know, we wait for things to happen in our lives, or we wait for the right people to come. But yet, we are the ones who have to take the action to make things happen. Although sometimes things fall in our lap, which is great. Oh, thanks, Cindy Fowler. My hair looks great this morning. So this is natural. This is just running a comb through it and leaving it to dry all by itself. Good morning, Al. Oh, I love you guys. And I was so fortunate to have spent some time with you guys while you were out here on the East Coast. I still am thinking about that every single day. And thank you for carving time out of your busy weekend schedule to hang out with me. That was totally awesome. And one of these days, I'd love to actually have Al on the radio show to talk about dental health, because Al is an expert in his field. And I think that would be really, really, really fabulous. So today we are talking about family, the good, the bad, and the ugly. We all have them. Sometimes they're a wonderful joy, and other times they're the biggest pain in the ass, right? And then what do we do, and how do we keep our sanity when they're being the biggest pain in the ass? And can you guys just let me know that you can hear me okay? Because I'm using a different microphone, and I want to be sure that it sounds all right. So if somebody can just type in the chat that it's good. Lisa Carberry, hello, gorgeous, from Australia. How are you feeling? Send Lisa some good vibes, good thoughts. She just had a big surgery, and here she is with us from, she's all the way in Australia, where it is already tomorrow in Australia. It's already Monday. And I believe it's about three or four o'clock in the morning there. So my goodness, really cool that you're tuning in. Thanks, Mary Elizabeth. Sounds good. Great. Okay. And so families, right? We all have them. We all love them or hate them or a little bit of both, right? can hear me fine. Thanks, Cindy Fala. So how do you manage, right? So here we are at the end of September, and I really hate to say it, but the holiday season is just around the corner. And, you know, that's where the majority of us get in, you know, we see our families, even if they live long distance, there's more contact with our families generally around the holiday season. And actually the Jewish holiday season is already beginning. So for some people, we're in the holiday season. And then how do you navigate the rough waters within your family, and, you know, sort of preparing for those moments in time when you know you'll be together that might be difficult? So I know you guys who are tuned into Facebook know sort of a bit of my story and what's been going on the last few months with me, and it's been lots of family stuff, right? None of it my stuff, all family stuff. And being the sort of, I guess I've never thought of it this way before, but since my mother passed away in 2002, I guess I'm what would be considered in some cultures now the matriarch of the family. That sounds really old. That makes me feel really old. So it's so interesting because my partner's sister, when their mom passed away 6 years ago, she became the matriarch. And for her, it was like, oh God, now I'm the matriarch. And it's just like this big burden that now she's supposed to take care of the family because the mom is passed. And it never really occurred to me that my mom passed in 2002, and here we are in 2019. I've never considered myself the matriarch, but now looking at the family things that I have dealt with, this last 5 months, I guess I would be considered the matriarch of the family. But I never felt like that before, even though I'm the one that does all the holiday gatherings and everything. I never felt like I was matriarchal, I guess. And now that I'm speaking it out loud, reflecting back on the last few months, it seems like I'm definitely fallen into that position. Mary Elizabeth Babcock, wise woman, thank you so much. That feels slightly better. So now, you know, as the wise woman, people look to you for guidance. And sometimes it can be a little frustrating or overwhelming because of the amount of guidance that some people look for. Good morning, Guinevere. And so how do you be the wise woman? And also, we've got our lovely Al here and other guys that tune in. How do you be the wise person, sort of the tribe, and keep your sanity? And how do you interact within your family and keep your sanity? Because there are times when our families, you know, really require us to step up to the plate and you know, give some kind of assistance or help, or you know, whether it's for example, my son's getting ready to buy a house, and so, you know, he's turned to me for guidance on what they should expect, what tests do they need to have done, what will closing costs be, and then, you know, now it's they have no furniture because they've lived in a tiny house for 5 years, I think. So they have no furniture, and everything is micro. They have, like, you know, a couple of plates and a couple of forks and a couple of cups, and that's it. And they actually are hoping to do Thanksgiving this year at their new house. And so now it's the fun of, you know, going around and gathering things for them. I love to find things like treasures, right? And so we went 2 days ago and yesterday, and gathered up some dressers. And so really, really funny. Oh, it's so funny. My daughter-in-law just texted in, "Mom, thank you for the gift." Isn't that funny? Here we are talking about them on the radio, and she just texted me. That's awesome. So it was her birthday in June, and I just got her birthday present to her. How bad is that? We saw them, but there was so much going on, I forgot to bring her birthday presents with me because it was a dual celebration. We have a whole bunch of birthdays that within like 3 days of each other, that particular week in June. And every time we see each other, I keep forgetting to bring her birthday presents. So that's my moon in Gemini, just so you guys know. It's not being a terrible mother-in-law. I used to think it was terrible until I had a great astrologer who said to me one time, it was so funny because I was in this workshop, actually, with Deborah Silverman and Colette Baron-Reed, the Stars and Cards workshop. And there were four Virgo people sitting on the other side of the room. And Deborah points them out and says, "And look at the little Virgos all lined up with their color-coded pens all in a row, all nicely organized." And I was sitting across the room at the other side. And this Virgo raised her hand and went, "What happened to me? Because I didn't even bring a pen." Never mind color coordinated. And she says, "Let me see your chart." She pulls my chart up on the big screen. And she goes, "Oh, well, that makes perfect sense. Your moon in Gemini, you're not supposed to remember to bring a pen. You're supposed to forget things." And I went, "Oh, thank God." So she gave me a pass. Because for years I've been so hard on myself because I forget things. And it can be like instantly forgetting things. And so anyway, I'm terrible with birthdays. I'm terrible remembering things, period. So I've tried to get really much better at putting everything in my calendar. Like, I'll put birthdays in and make them repeat, right? So that I don't forget. You know, it's it's usually, sorry, Al, but it's usually the guys that get the bad rap for forgetting. Well, you know, depending on your astrology sign, if you're a girl, a lady, woman, sage, wise woman, you could forget too. So anyway, I think that's hilarious that synchronistically she just texted me in that moment when I was talking about them buying a house and gathering up things. So that's one of the good things, right? That's the fun things with family. So my son and I went on this adventure yesterday with the truck and trailer, and we went to look for furniture and some other things. And, you know, it was fun. And that's like the good. And we chatted, and I remembered to give him Jenny's birthday presents and the sweatshirt that he left at my house in April. Good morning, Kathy. So, so that's one of the good moments with family, right? And then, of course, we have the bad moments, what we can consider bad. And, you know, when you label things, I don't know. It's like, I don't really know if I like the label good or bad. I feel really indifferent about it. I feel like it's an experience, and what we do with the experience can make it good, bad, and even a bad or ugly experience, what some people would call that, could actually be a really helpful experience. And it could be, could give you a lot of information and could help change direction and shift dynamics within the family or within the family between two individuals. And, how we perceive things, we have to remember, is our own individual perception. Even growing up within the same family, so I grew up with we had five kids, and all five of us have really completely different sort of outlooks, perspectives, and how we live our lives. And it's really interesting to see that. My siblings are totally not into the woo-woo. They totally are not into personal transformation. There's a lot of addiction in my family. And so when I, in situations where I am interacting with them, it can be a real challenge. And so I've had to learn to navigate, number one, not to take it personally. Because we think that because we're born into a family group, that we have to sort of put up with certain things from our family members. Otherwise, we, you know, lose our family sort of structure. We lose our family group, right? And that sometimes is true. You know, I feel that we are born into, we choose a family. We pick our own families. We look at, you know, what's going on down here when we're on the other side, and we look at, you know, multiple families, and we go, oh, this father's an alcoholic. Oh, and he cheats on his wife. And, that mother is a manic depressive, and she doesn't want kids, but yet she has a whole gaggle of them. Oh, well, I think I'm going to pick those parents, because they're the ones that I need to get me on my life path for the soul growth that I want to work on in this lifetime, right? Sounds crazy, and who in their right mind would do that? But when we're on the other side, things don't seem that bad, right? They don't seem that challenging. And so we pick where the country we were born into, the state, the city, the town, whatever. We pick the parents, we pick the family, and then we forget all about it once we come out of the birth canal. We totally forget about it. And so then people often tend to blame their families for the way they turned out. Oh, you know, my family was so awful and I can't deal, or, you know, whatever. And, but they don't, that's not taking personal responsibility. And when you understand and realize you chose that family, for that family to wound you in the perfect way for you to get on your life's path. It changes the whole dynamic tremendously. Then the family becomes a blessing, not a curse, right? Oh, so, I mean, my family was crazy, right? There was lots of abuse, both physical, mental, you know, you name it, it was there. But yet, as a kid growing up, I was always happy, and I would find, you know, my little sort of my own little world, whatever. I grew up in a neighborhood with all boys, which why I picked that, I don't know. Well, actually, I think I picked it because I needed to be really tough in this life. So growing up in a neighborhood of all boys, I had to be tough because if I was going to play with anybody, I had to play with the boys. And if I was, you know, sort of a sissy, then that wouldn't have worked. So I had to be tough. And that being tough, you know, has given me sort of this base, this fortitude, this strength to know that I can get through anything, no matter how difficult. And it's really been true. I've been through a lot of crazy things in my life, starting in childhood, you know, with abuse situations, and then going into being raped at 17. And then I was actually raped again when I was in my 30s. I was held hostage at gunpoint. Strangled on the kitchen table. You know, it's like I've been through, you know, a few big things, not too many, but anyway. So then how do you, you know, again, navigate through these family waters, especially when they're tricky family waters? And then what, you know, what happens, a lot of us then go get married, and then we have the spouse's family to deal with. And how do we navigate that? Sometimes they're a different culture, and you have to learn what is acceptable in their culture. And then that's a whole sort of another dance, right? So it's this family dance, but our families give us all the information we need to work on ourselves in our own personal development to become the person who we really want to be. Good morning, Lorianne. And so when you shift your thinking, shift your perspective to that our families give us all the material that we need for us to work on to become who we want to be, to become the person that we, when we were on the other side, said, oh yeah, this is who I want to be, this is what I want to do, this is what I want to have, et cetera, et cetera. We chart out the big pieces, right? So that will show up like in your astrology chart. When you look at your North Node, that will give you clues into your theme for this lifetime. When you look at your South Node, that will give you the clue into what you were doing in your last lifetime, right? And so I think having a good astrology chart done is a great roadmap for everyone. And if you haven't had an astrology chart done, then I totally recommend you do that. And one thing I also really like to look at, which is super helpful, is to look at where your progressed moon is. And you can go on astro.com and find that information. You can put in your birth date, time, where you were born, and it will give you your birth chart. But then to have a really good astrologer analyze the chart, because astrology is so complex. And I have a good friend and colleague who has been studying astrology for over 40 years, and she considers herself a good beginner astrologist, and she's phenomenal. And if you would like to have a really good chart done, then I totally recommend you get in touch with Sharon Lair. You can find her on Facebook, or Maya White. They're both just fabulous astrologers, and you can get a really good chart and good insight from them. Elizabeth Springer is a great astrologer. So find somebody that you resonate with and get a really good chart if you haven't got one. And it'll also tell you, you know, some things about your family within your chart. So it's really, really super helpful. Okay, so let's go back to family, the good, the bad, the ugly. How to navigate those waters, right? Now, I have been navigating these waters, and the seas have been rough in my life for the last 5 months with family. You know, so now I'm dealing with my dad, but also stepmom. And that relationship with my stepmother has always been tense and tentative. And it's so interesting because my dad and stepmom have been married for over 35 years. And it's just now, with my dad being really ill the last couple of years, but particularly the last 5 months, where my stepmother finally has a different perspective of me and is now has a lot of respect for me. Not that she didn't before, but it was sort of this, there was this grit between the two of us because when she married my dad, she was like, I think she was 20 maybe. So we were about the same age. We're not that far apart in age. And so it was challenging, right? The dance between the two of us. But I've always tried to sort of keep the peace because I love my dad. And I always, you know, wanted that relationship to continue. And so, yeah, Lisa Carberry seconds that LaShera Lair is fantastic for an astrology reading. Oh, yeah, she's wonderful. She gets in there and she looks at the elements and, you know, the things that, you know, other people don't necessarily talk about, but things that, you know, are really helpful and impactful. Okay, so back to the whole thing with you know, families and the stepmother and the navigating, right? So this last 5 months with my dad, between the first week of May and the last week of July, or maybe it was the first week of August. Anyway, in a 13-week period beginning the first week of May, he was in the emergency room 11 times, and each of those 11 emergency room visits led to a hospital stay. One or two of them were only overnight, but the majority of them were for 4 days or longer. I think the longest stay was maybe 11 days. So he was in the hospital most of the May, June, July, and then half of August. And so I live an hour away when there's no traffic, and I have to drive through the capital city in my state to get to my dad's. There's no way around it. And so, sorry, the dog is barking. Apollo, hey, come on. Thank you, good boy. If I have to go through the city when it's rush hour, it can take 2 hours or longer sometimes to get through the city, the main, and it's the highway, but the traffic just gets all backed up. And so, you know, going through having to be there, choosing to be there, see, because there's a difference. There's a big difference between the word choosing and having to. When we choose, it empowers us. When we say, I have to be there, I have to go, that actually weakens us and takes away from us. We're giving our power away. And every time that we give our power away, every time that a weakening statement comes out of our mouth, it actually affects our immune system. And so you want to be really mindful of how you, what language you speak, right? What words you choose to use. Are you choosing to go, right? Are you choosing to be there 3 or 4 times a week, right? Or do you feel like you have to go? So that becomes a burden. Can you even feel the energy shift between the two, right? So one feels more like a burden. The other feels more like, oh, okay, yes, I am choosing to do this because, you know, I love my dad and I want to help in whatever way I can. So my stepmom's not that great at navigating the medical system. She's good at finding antiques. That's her sort of specialty. And she's got a store, and she runs this really cute store. But when it comes to navigating medical jargon and dealing with the doctors, that's not her forte. So where I have, a lot more sort of, I don't want to use the word expertise because I hardly consider myself an expert at all when it comes to medical things, but I have a sort of a foundational knowledge of medicine, of medications. When I don't know something, I look it up, I call someone, et cetera, and how to sort of navigate the system. And as a healer, I've made it my sort of my point to learn the anatomy system, to learn about, a little sort of bit about all things with health, with the endocrine system and the heart and so forth. And because, when I work with clients who have physical issues, it helps them and it helps me to know medically what's going on and how to deal with that. And as a medical intuitive, I can be more accurate in saying, I feel like this test would be helpful for you. All right. But I'm not a medical doctor. I don't make medical diagnoses or anything like that. But I do have enough sort of working knowledge to be able to navigate a little bit more. And so I sort of stepped in and took over my dad's medical care because my stepmother was not, able to do it. And it's been a big job. He's got a team of doctors. I can't remember if he's up to 7 or 8 doctors. And now we've just switched all of his doctors over to the VA, the Veterans Facility, and getting him veterans benefits. That was a whole nother time consuming jumping through hoops. He's a 33 year military veteran, but he never went and got his veteran benefits when he was physically able to do that. I think mentally in his mind, if he did that, then, it meant he was getting old and he never really wanted to face that. So now, now he really needed those benefits. And again, my stepmother, I worked for the government for 26 years. So I'm able to navigate that system because I know the system and how the ins and outs of it, et cetera, et cetera. And hold on 1 second, please, you guys. I'm sorry. Honey, can you get the dog? Ryan? Can you do something with the dog, please? Thank you. Sorry, guys. I'm at the farmhouse today, and the dog is barking because most likely my brother is milling around outside, so he's probably barking at him. So my brother is here temporarily as a house guest. And so I have that layer of family that I am dealing with in the moment as well. But hopefully he's out there working on my lawnmower because he is a mechanic and we need to cut the grass. So how do we get through all of these things, right? And this may or may not apply to you, the medical part of what I'm working with my family. I also have I'm power of attorney for my brother for his health care as well. He has some challenges. And so I have all this, and it was all piled on my plate within the same week in May. And I started getting really exhausted and overwhelmed and a little bit resentful. And so I had to take a step back. And in that taking a step back, I realized that I needed to do some things for me. I needed to take a day off. I needed to say once my dad got stable the middle of August, I said, okay, Dad, now I need to get back to work. Because I hadn't worked really since the end of March. And plus, I moved at the beginning of all this, in the month of April, where we were looking for a house for 4 months, finally found one. But then we go under contract for the house and find out that the house we knew it used to be a general store, but we did not know that the general store had a gas station. So then we had to do all kinds of extra testing to make sure there wasn't soil contamination, and thankfully there wasn't. But it was all these extra jumping through hoops. And so it was full time, looking for a house, finding a house. Some days I was looking at 10 to 15 houses a day, trying to find a house within the area that I wanted to be in and that my daughter wanted to be in. And then, we'd get to these houses and people were trying to sell in the prices they were asking for them. So anyway, we go into contract and have to jump through hoops with all that. And then, dealing with a terrible landlord on the other end of the apartment they were moving out of. And that's why we actually bought the farm, which, turned out to be a blessing. So the point is, with that, keep in mind that sometimes the things that appear to be the most difficult and challenging and, are taking a lot of our energy turn to be a big blessing, right? Now, had, we stayed in the apartment, had the landlord not been, I'm not going to use any choice words, but we'll just say he was not a good landlord. Anyway, had those things not happened, had the septic not backed up into the apartment, had the landlord not wanted to repair it, and all of that, we probably would have still been there because I loved, 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 loved the house. I loved the neighborhood. I loved the yard. It was just, for me, it was so peaceful and zen. And then we moved to the farm. So even though it's a farm and we've got a few acres, we're right on the main road. The front of the house is on the main road. So it's traffic-wise, it's kind of noisy. And so I was irritated about that for the first couple of months. And now I notice that I don't really notice it until there's no cars. And then I realize the silence. And then I just breathe in, But at night, it's absolutely beautiful here. When the traffic has stopped, there's so many stars and I hear the crickets and everything. It's really great. But the point is, had those things not happened, had those challenges not come up, then I would have still been in the apartment, which, I loved. However, then I would not be able to be helping my brother now. And I still wouldn't have my own office. I would still not be able to have, see clients in person because of the problem that we had with the not having the bathroom ever reinstated in the apartment. And there's a lot of benefit that came out of what was a difficult situation. And think about with your families that there is a lot of good that can come out of a difficult situation. The key is, in my experience, what I have found is getting really clear about what you are willing and able to do or provide without feeling guilty about the things, the boundaries that you're setting in the things that you are not willing to do or provide for your family. And this, it goes in general in your life, whether it's friends, because, people have friends that you consider family, whether this goes to coworkers. This is just a really great sort of basic soup formula. We're going to call it making the soup, right? And it's the, all these ingredients go in and you get this soup, this finished product. And so the ingredients that you're putting into your soup are knowing what you are willing to do, what you're willing to provide, how much time, how much effort. Oh, and I've been also helping my nephew, whose partner is expecting their second child any minute now. I'm really getting excited about that. They live really close by. I've also been helping them with doctor's appointments and things like that. So again, it's setting the boundary, setting the time. How much time can you or are you willing to give? And setting clear boundaries for yourself without feeling guilt or shame. Because oftentimes our family, so if you guys are tuning in here, you probably, there's a possibility you might have grown up in a family that, you know, produced some guilt and shame. I'm just guessing, right? And so that, because, you know, there was a time when I grew up where, you know, there was none of this sort of thing about empowering children. It was, you know, you went out and you got up in the morning, you went out and played, or you went to school, you came home, same thing. Your parents didn't want to see or hear you. You just, no, go out and play, go out and play, right? And then when in my own family, and it certainly may have been different in yours, there was no big things. There wasn't all these graduations in school. There was a high school graduation. That was it. So there was no celebrating sort of like your milestone things like graduating from kindergarten. Now there's a graduation practically for everything in school, which, you know, I don't know if it's good, bad, whatever. Yes, unlearning the expectations you've been taught about the way to be a family member. Totally, Lisa Carberry. Yeah, that's exactly what we're talking about here. And when we are unlearning the expectations that we've been taught about how to be within our family, you're going to get pushback. You are going to get pushback because you are upsetting the apple cart, right? The thing is to hold your resolve. Don't let them push you off, you know, your pathway. Setting healthy boundaries is one of the most difficult things to do in relationships, whether it's family, whether it's a partnership, whether it's a work relationship. It is one of the most difficult things. And when you can have clear, crisp boundaries, and when I say clear, crisp boundaries, it's not like you have to be, you know, a jerk about it. It's not like you have to be nasty or bitchy or, you know, whatever. But you have to start to understand what it is you're willing to provide. And this is super helpful, especially for you girls, right? When it comes to relationships with our partners, is to understand that there are things that our partners cannot or and are not willing to provide for us. And it's how we ask them, and that's a whole nother show, but we're gonna do that show soon, a relationship show. And it's how we ask and so forth, and understand that sometimes they just can't provide what we want, or, you know, whether it's an emotional thing or if it's a physical thing, whatever. But it's this dance, right? And the big thing for all of you is to get clear about what you're willing to provide, how much time, how much effort, if there's money involved, are you willing to provide, you know, et cetera. And it may even help you to write it down. For me, writing things down and seeing it makes it solid and makes it super, super helpful. And I know I have people in the radio queue, so thank you guys for being in there. I will take a call or two before the end of the show. I'm on a riff here. So